Just a quick word from our affiliates before we jump into the episode. SafePoint Loan Working App is a really simple way for you to manage loan working. Utilizing WAP-free words to get you pinpoint accuracy on the location of your people when you really need it. Get yourself a discount using the link and code in the description of this episode. Let's jump into today's podcast. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Rebranded Safety. In this video, we're going to have a chat about the safety statistics that come from the HSE every year. So we're going to have a look at last year's statistics.
Health and safety is almost a victim of its own success.
Weird and oppressive regime of health and safety regulations.
A huge fire engulfs a tower block in London.
Children being forced to wear goggles to play conkers at school.
Worst oil field disaster, 164 dead.
Rebranding Safety, the modern health and safety podcast, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Fluent and your host, James McPherson. Rebranding Safety, if you're new here, does exactly what it says on the tin. We're here to challenge the perception, to challenge the negative narrative and the health and safety gone mad practices that are out there. We do that by providing free content on short videos and Toolbox Tuesdays on YouTube, and every Monday with a in-depth conversation on the podcast. So you can get the podcast on YouTube and any of the podcast platforms, and obviously videos on YouTube. So don't forget to check those out. My name's James McPherson. You can chat with me on any of the social media platforms coming onto your screen right now. So make sure you do that. Hit me up. Let's have a chat. If you're new here, don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you never miss another episode. If you're on the podcast, then hit whatever it says. If it's on Spotify, hit follow. They're going to break this down into two forms. So basically, the Toolbox Tuesdays video, that if you're watching this on YouTube right now, will be the shorter version. And we're just going to cover the summary and just a little bit of a overview and a kind of outlook on the new year from me. And then in the podcast version, which will come out the day before, obviously, because podcasts are every Monday, that will be the same summary, but then we're going to break down three of the other sections. And those other sections are going to be workplace injuries and the fatalities. We're also going to discuss the mental health stats and the cost to Britain that these stats or these injuries, etc., have as well. So if you're watching on Toolbox Tuesdays, don't forget to go check out the podcast if you enjoy this, and you can go find out some more information. Listen to me a little bit more. So let's have a look at the summary then. And yes, I have a piece of paper because I want to make sure I get the numbers right. I'm not very good at numbers, you all know that. So I'll just briefly run through what it says on there then. So 1.4 million work-related ill health cases, 0.6 million work-related stress, depression, or anxiety cases, 0.5 million work-related musculoskeletal disorder cases, 9.8 billion annual cost of new cases of work-related ill health, 0.6 million workers sustaining a non-fatal injury, 69,208,000 non-fatal injuries to employees reported by employers, 147 fatalities, 52, see what I mean? I'm not good at numbers. 5.2 billion annual cost of workplace injury. 28.2 million working days lost due to work-related ill health and non-fatal workplace injuries. 12,000 lung disease deaths each year estimated to be linked to exposure at work. 2,526 mesothelioma deaths in 2017, with a similar number of lung cancer deaths linked to past exposure to asbestos, and 15 billion annual cost to work-related injury and new cases of ill health in 2017-18, excluding long latency illnesses such as cancer. Now, you can go into these statistics as much as you like. Obviously, you'd have heard sometimes they're pulled figures from 17, 18, and I'm no statistician or whatever you call them. So you know, sometimes it blows my mind a little bit. But I think the key thing to remember here is there's still some big numbers here. I think we have to look at this in two ways. We've done a lot of work and we've come a long way. We have to acknowledge that. 100%. You know, I'm all about positivities. You know, we have to look at it and say, well done, great job, we've brought numbers down, etc., etc. I do not, however, think that we should be taking away the power and the value, maybe they're not the right words, but from the negative. Essentially, we have to consider the negative. There's 147 lives have been lost in a year from going to work. I mean, that still blows my mind. There's some huge numbers here that we need to look at getting down. We need to look at reducing. We need to look at improving. So we need to look at this and consider how far we've come, 100%. But let's consider how much better we can be. Like, really, let's look at this like a challenge. You know, if we were looking at our stats for our profits of our business, we would be like, wow, let's try and double that. If we were looking at the cost to our business, we would be thinking, wow, let's try and cut that in half. But I find that if you look at a lot of the stats, and I'll go more into detail on this point around fatalities in the podcast, but I find that we're a little bit like, well, we're only killing 147 people compared to what we used to, and we seem to have accepted this plateau. And I know there's a lot of people looking for a new way, better way of doing things, safety differently, and new view, and behavioral-based safety, and behavioral safety, HOP, all of these crazy things that are coming out, 100%. Everyone, I'm not saying we're all sitting on our laurels and just kind of, you know, blowing smoke up our ass, but I do think we have to look at this, all of us, not just safety professionals, business owners, business leaders, managers, every single person, employees, all of us have the right to go to work and not die, essentially. And 147 people have died last year. That's not acceptable, as far as I'm concerned. So let's look at this is the start of your kind of first marathon. This is the start line of a marathon, or this is the first day on a new job. It's a challenge, and it's one that you're proud to be part of. It's one that you're excited to be proud of, and you can't wait to cross the finish line. You can't wait to get to the point of going, we've not killed anyone this year. Like, a lot of us look at it and say, you know, it's impossible. And I understand the challenges of it, but I still don't think it's impossible in the modern world we live in now. I don't think it's impossible to for us to not kill anyone in any industry. Like, we are such an intelligent, well, you'd think so, species nowadays, that I don't really think that it's that impossible. So don't sit there and think that, you know, oh, James being all naive, etc., etc., because I'm not. So let's consider this with accepting the negatives, accepting the negative narrative, but kind of having a respectfully positive attitude or mindset towards it as a challenge to improve and to not let this happen again. Okay, so we're going to break down the other two sections. So I'm not naive enough that like I think that we're really and honestly going to create a place without any risk. I'm not saying eliminate all of our cuts and bruises, etc. I'm saying that we shouldn't be killing people. But I don't really want us to create a kind of health and safety workplace. I want us to create an efficient workplace. So let me kind of put that into perspective. The definition of efficient is system or machine achieving maximum productivity with minimum wasted effort or expense. Basically, a quote would be kind of more efficient processing of information. For example, for a person working in a well-organized, competent way, an efficient administrator, for example. I kind of want us to think of this like, you know, I want us to be kind of risk efficient, you know, getting maximum productivity with minimum effects on health and safety. That's how I kind of want us to look at it for the year going forward. I think sometimes the word safe comes with kind of like a negative connotation, is that, you know, if we're talking about improving our careers or our lives or our business or something like that from a financial or a professional point of view, we would talk about taking risks. We would talk about, you know, your comfort zone is the worst place to be. Safe is the worst place to be. So that's probably why we're, in a way, never going to be that innovative, because safe kind of comes with that acceptance and that kind of negative connotation that we just sit in this kind of thing and accept that we kill 147 people, which kind of nicely brings me on to my next bit. So workplace injury stats then. So obviously 147 people have unfortunately lost their lives. We had 581,000 workers sustaining a non-fatal injury, according to self-reports from the Labour Force Survey. Just under 70,000 employees non-fatal injuries reported by employers. 4.7 million estimated working days lost to non-fatal workplace injuries, according to self-reports from the Labour Force. 138,000 injuries over 7 days absence, 443,000 injuries with up to a 7 day absence. 29% of all of this stuff, of the non-fatal injuries to employers, sorry, by most common accident kinds. So 29% of those are slip, trips and falls on the same level. So go listen to our first ever guest on the podcast, Christian Harris of Slip Safety Services. He talks quite in depth about slips and trips and kind of the science about it. And it's actually quite interesting. I'm always fascinated by people that can go really in depth onto something like Christian does with slips and trips. And if you don't follow him on LinkedIn, make sure you do, because he just shares some phenomenal stuff that kind of blow your mind. Coming up next on that breakdown then, 20% handling, lifting or carrying. Then we've got 10% struck by moving object, acts of violence 8%, and 8% falls from height. We can kind of look at all this stuff, but I think the thing that really sticks out to me is on the right hand side of the slide. If you look at it, the rate of fatal injury showed a long term downward trend, but has been broadly flat in the recent years. I think there's this kind of acceptance. It feels to me like there's an acceptance around this. I mean, if you kind of look into it a bit more, they kind of say that in a roundabout way that could just be, the increase could just be the natural way that statistics work. And I just thought it was a bit of a cop-out, if I'm honest. I just thought I was a bit disappointed to read that they've just kind of pied off 147 deaths, which is an increase. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, put it in the comments. Yeah, so they just kind of pie it off with this kind of, you know, that's how statistics works, by the increase of labour, etc. And I just didn't think it was good enough. Like, I wanted to hear something like inspiring, something like, you know, like a call to action from the HSE to say, you know, it's going up, this is not good enough, we need to do better. And I'm not saying the HSE, again, are sitting there doing nothing, they're probably working their ass off behind the scenes, or I hope they are anyway. But I just felt like this thing was just like 147 deaths was just this kind of number that we just don't want to talk about, because it's going to be unbelievably hard for us to do it. And it's been broadly flat for years, so that's pretty good. It's like these 147 people, or 130 people, I think has been the lowest we've hit for the last couple of years. It's lives. They're uncles, aunties, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, grandmas, granddads, whatever they are, the people's lives. And we just seem to be saying, oh, it's been broadly flat for the last couple of years. It infuriates me every year to see this stuff. You can break it down into your industries as well if you want, and you can see that agriculture is at the top as well. You know, so if you know anyone that works in agriculture, share this with them, and kind of maybe they'll start listening to some of the specialists we have on the podcast that can help them out. Maybe some of the how-to videos on Toolbox Tuesdays will help them out. I don't really know what the answer is. I'm not sitting here advocating to know the answer, but I just think we can do so much more. To kind of put it into perspective, as okay, yeah, that's fine, you know, we want to stop killing people, that's all well and good, blah blah blah. Well, think about how much this actually cost us. Like, so you can see on one of the other slides on the full report from the HSE, again, which I've linked in the description, you know, this is costing the economy an amazing amount of money. 15 billion, the annual cost of work-related injuries and new cases of ill health. 9.8 billion is the annual cost of new cases of work-related ill health. 5.2 billion is the annual cost of workplace injury. Fucking shitload of money this is costing us, but yet every single year, oh yeah, like the NHS is in crisis, we need more money. It's like, well, maybe we put a little bit more money in to stop sending so many people to hospital, stop sending 147 people to the hospital to try and be saved, who ultimately end up losing their lives, or stop sending just under 70,000 people to hospital with a non-fatal injury to receive treatment, just because they went to work. I'm not advocating that we would create an environment where everyone's wrapped in bubble wrap, but this shit's costing us money, people. We're sitting around wondering about our economy and looking for the next trick pony that's going to fix everything, and it's right in front of our faces. We just stop treating our people like these kind of disposable things that we have at work. How many times do we hear, you know, the government saying that about the NHS, that it needs more money, when we're spending the money ourselves by you know, hurting our own people? Think of it in a work context as well. Is how inefficient is it that you're having people that are having 7 days off work, 3 days off work, whether it's for a physical, let's assume for now it's for a physical or ill health kind of, not mental health, because we're going to cover that in a second, case. You know, and that's why I want us to talk about that kind of risk efficiency. It's not efficient for a business if your machine was having to be replaced 147 times a year, or you've got just under 70,000 parts that keep failing because you're not maintaining it. You wouldn't have a car and never send it to a service and MOT. You know, you look after your car. But in a business, we seem to have this thing that people are people, and granted, people are very difficult, people are very unique, and everyone's different, and they're very hard for us to deal with. I'm not advocating that this is the easiest way for us to deal with something. It's 100% the hardest way to deal with something. But we have to start considering that not managing health and safety is not just this kind of woolly thing and this kind of nanny state we're trying to create. It's inefficient. That's what this comes down to. It's inefficient for us not to be managing this. And I think the cost of Britain side kind of puts that into perspective. And there's much more on there that you can kind of break down if you want to. If you were to look at the cost of Britain workplace injury and new case of work-related ill health, you're looking at 65% of its ill health, 35% of it is injury. You know, there's loads of little charts and breakdowns, and the HSE provides you quite a lot more information as well, to be able to kind of break that down a bit more. Let's move on then to have a chat about work-related stress, depression, or anxiety. You know, we talked about the NHS a second ago, the cost on them, but how much are we hearing now in the news and through social media, etc., about the mental health crisis that we're in maybe the world, but most definitely the UK? We talk about it so much, and we focus on social media, and we remove our likes from our Instagram posts, and I genuinely think that we're just kind of putting a plaster on a bullet wound, is kind of the way I describe a lot of things, the way we react to stuff. You know, well, let's remove the likes because people are looking at the likes, and that's kind of damaging their ill health. I'm no expert, I'm no psychologist, I'm not saying whether that's a good or a bad thing. I just feel like we're not really acknowledging a root cause of this stuff, and I do think our work is one of the things. I rarely find anyone that says, you know, how was work? Oh yeah, I love my job. You know, it's this thing in the UK, it's a given that everybody hates their job. If you go to the pub with your mates, say how's work, everyone goes, oh, same shit, different day. It's kind of a given that's life in the UK. Is that really life? You're going to spend 50, 60, maybe 70 years, depending on how old you are, working your ass off all day, every day, 5 days a week, seeing your family and doing the things that you love 2 days a week, and not going to be happy. And if you kind of run a business, would you want to do that? Why do you run your own business? You probably run your own business because you're fed up of working for somebody else like that. and you don't want to be that person, and well played for you, that's amazing, that's unbelievable, you've gone and started your own business, you've changed your future, etc. So why would you then imply that on somebody else? Why would you then create an environment where they're unhappy the same as how you were, which made you start your own business? I hope that makes sense. But let's kind of have a look at some of the figures then. So 602,000 workers suffering from work-related stress, depression, or anxiety, new and long-standing. 602,000 people. 602,000 people. That is unfucking believable. Work-related people. Are you and your business or your management team or your environment, your lack of training, your lack of whatever it is, communication within your business, creating one or two or three or 10 of these 602,000 people? If you're sitting around trying to decide who to vote for or moaning on the news about this mental health crisis, why the NHS don't do anything, maybe we start looking at your own businesses. Maybe you start looking inside your own life to see if we can fix this. 602,000 people is just mind-blowing. There's 12.8 million working days lost due to work-related stress. 12.8 million working days. So there's 12.8 million working days, so days where some people are doing nothing, absolutely nothing, because of work-related stress. There's 246,000 workers suffering from new cases of work-related health last year. Public and admin and defence, granted, probably quite stressful environments, but admin, public facing, yeah, fair enough. Human health and social work are the next one. Education is the next one down. Then underneath that, you've got all industries. So the top three industries are public, admin and defence, human health and social work, and education. Granted, probably very stressful environments. But think about this, right? If you're in, let's say you've got a business for any of those industries, right? Let's forget defence, because I have no experience and I wouldn't want to comment on that. But let's take health and social care, for example, where I do have some experience. Can be quite a stressful environment. 100%. Not going to take that away from you. Is that sometimes you can't avoid stress in those environments. So then as a business, you need to make sure that you're not exacerbating the existing stress that you sometimes can't avoid. If you've got stressful patients, stressful customers, etc., that's a given. That's sometimes out of your control. 100% agree with you. So you need to be working your arse off behind the scenes to make sure that your employees can have good feedback loops, that have good forms of communication, have good working relationships with their teams, with their managers, that they're paid well, that they receive benefits, that they have healthcare, whatever, they have a safe place to go and rest and be able to escape, they feel comfortable to be able to say this is too much, they've got support behind the scenes, they've got a care line that they can ring up and get support, you know, all of the above. There was a great post by somebody on LinkedIn the other day, which I've mentioned in a couple of pre-recorded podcasts that you guys have not listened to yet, but a gentleman put a post on about, you know, businesses doing like Pizza Fridays and Beanbag Fridays, or beanbags and slides in the head offices, Beanbag Friday. Why would you bring beanbags in just on Friday? You know what I mean? And not actually addressing the root cause of this stuff. And I just thought it was so good to read that. Like, don't take away from the Pizza Fridays and stuff. They're good to have, and you can have them, and you can maybe start there. But don't forget that you've got to address the kind of, why are your people stressed? And don't just write it off to say, well, that's just the industry we work in, because it's not. It's not. You can work in a stressful industry. You know, I used to be a chef a long time ago, and at times it was an unbelievably stressful environment. But actually, most of our stress came from the poor management that we had, not from the business and the busy side. Sorry, it was from the business, not from how busy we were, is what I meant to say. Not from our teammates, because we were like a family. You know, I met my wife there, for God's sake. We were a real close-knit team. I look forward to working with them, and we had fun, we had laughs. But most of the stress came from the people that were managing us and the business decisions that were made that we had no control over, or at least no say over whatsoever. And that normally is where most of the stress comes from. So my advice to you, if you're thinking, okay, fair enough, that's a good point, James, I'm going to have a look at this and maybe I can fix it, where do we go? I think you should go into the HSE website, and I think you should get the HSE management standards. And I think if you can start working towards them, I think you will create a phenomenal business, in my opinion. Don't advocate for everything that the HSE does. I think they could do a hell of a lot more proactive work. However, I advocate for nearly all of their guidance documents. I think they're phenomenal. I think they're reasonable, I think they're practical, and I think that, you know, they're free, so go and get them. I think everybody should have them and at least know where they are. So go and check those out and start working towards them. It's very simple. It's about, you know, engaging with your teams, you know, allowing them to have some control over what they do, you know, feedback loops, communication, etc. But if you're complaining about this kind of mental health crisis we have in the UK, but your business is stressing your own people out, then you don't have a right to complain, as far as I'm concerned. But this is something that we all have control over to fix, and this is something that's not easy for us to do. It's going to take a long time, and I massively accept that, but it is something that we can do. So go and check those standards out and see what you can do in your business to kind of make it a little bit more comfortable for your teams. Okay then, so looking forward then, so it's a new year, it's a new decade, as you've all heard, everyone's talking about it. How do we fix this? How do we kind of improve these figures? You know, how do we stop killing 147 people? How do we stop 602,000 people being stressed, depressed, and having anxiety due to the work? Firstly, if you're watching this shorter video on YouTube, go and check out the full podcast. But I want us to have a positive outlook on this stuff. As much as I'm very harsh and very negative when it comes to the big figures and how much more we can do, I do want us to look positive on this. I want us to remember that this is the start line of something that we wanted to do all our life. It's that training for London Marathon, finally getting the ticket and standing at that start line and figure, wow, we're going to do this. You know, we look at those events like we're excited to do it, we're a little bit scared, we're a little bit nervous, maybe a little bit apprehensive of how we're going to do it, whether we're going to hit the brick wall, but we're still excited. We look at it from a positive way, even though it's probably going to be the biggest challenge of our life. I think we can do that as health and safety as well, but I think we need to change the way we look at it by thinking about what I said earlier about that kind of risk efficiency side of things. You know, it's not efficient for us to be having people off work for 7 days a week. It's not efficient for us to be killing people at work and replacing them. It just doesn't make sense. It's not efficient for us to be having people that are scared, that are depressed, that are stressed, because they're not going to be efficient in themselves. Go back to podcast, two-part podcast that we did over the Christmas period with David McLean, where he talks about kind of the evolutionary response of our brains and how if we're stressed, if we're depressed, if we're in fear at work, we're sitting in the wrong parts of our brain, and therefore we're not going to be productive. So go and have a listen to that. Go and have a listen to the episode, two-part episode that we did with Dr. Dara Blumenthal, where she talks about kind of being comfortable with being uncomfortable in your workplaces. If you all know you're working towards the same values, you all have that kind of acceptance that the finance director can question the health and safety director without it being awkward, because we all know that they're both trying to get to a point where we do whatever we need to do within our business. So it's that kind of us all on board with our values, etc., and our aims as a business. Go and have a listen to the podcast we did with Ron Gant as well about, you know, focusing on what not getting what you don't want doesn't get you what you want. You know, it's not efficient for us to be going around the business and telling everyone what's wrong, but it is efficient to go around the business and celebrate the wins and to say, hey, I think we could do this a little bit better. What do you think? Or, hey, Bob, have you got any ideas of how we can run this machine a little bit better? And Bob will probably be like, yeah, I've been working here 30 years. And I know there's 10 ways at least we can do this better. So they were really three kind of podcast interviews that we did last year that really stuck out in my brain, primarily because they were quite recent. But there's loads of people that we spoke to last year, some just normal safety professionals like me that just come on for a chat, some just massive advocates of social systems or certain systems, sorry, and some just absolute experts at what they do. David McLean, we've had him on 3 times now. So go listen to his stuff. I really advocate what he talks about. I really like that conversation with Ron and Dara as well about what they talk about. So go check them out. I think they can really change the way we look at things within our businesses. So going into this year then, I think for me, that efficiency piece is big. I think that we need to kind of have in our heads that our people are assets. If we look after our teams, they'll look after you, they'll look after their customers. You know, if you want to hit that target next year, whatever target it is, you'll probably reach it, if I'm honest. You'll probably reach it by doing those old-fashioned way of thinking about things. Well, you know, well, I don't know what they're moaning about. They get paid for what they do. We've got a cycle to work scheme, etc., etc. I'm thinking that that's enough and that you can treat your people like shit or whatever. But if you were to involve them a little bit more, if you were to respect them a little bit more, if you were to engage with them a little bit more, you might start realizing that you won't just reach that target, you'll probably smash that target and get so much further if your team members respect you, you know, they enjoy you, they feel part of like maybe a family, you know, that kind of tight-knit team, that those things that you want to get by covering Bob's area because Bob's off sick or has had to call in an emergency, you'll get that anyway. You don't need to write that down in a description. You don't need to kind of minute it in a meeting. You'll get it. People will naturally do it if they enjoy being part of the team. You don't need to dictate it that you will cover James when he's on holiday. People just do it if it's a good team. So focus on your people. Focus on creating an environment where people want to be. And I 100% guarantee you'll smash any target that you ever create in that business. But remember, this stuff is not easy. This is the hard way to do it. It feels alien to some people. People are, there's now stranger than folk, you know what I mean? Like that saying has some value. There is now stranger than folk. So I don't advocate that this is an easy solution, but I do think it's genuinely the best solution. So focus on your people this year. Focus on creating an environment where everybody wants to work and what a beautiful world we can live in the future. Okay, peeps, I hope you found some value in that video. If you did, don't forget to hit like. If you're new here, don't forget to hit subscribe and all that. If you're on the podcast, don't forget to hit follow, subscribe, whatever it says on your platform. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to hit the bell so you never miss another episode as well. If you enjoyed this, if you really did enjoy this podcast, don't forget to give us a rating and review. And if you do, give it a screenshot and tweet us on the social media things that are coming on the screen right now. And if you listen on the podcast, it's Twitter at Rebranded Safety, Facebook Rebranded Safety, LinkedIn James McPherson. All the links are in the description anyway, so you can come and hit me up on there. Otherwise, it's been me waffling about the new year ahead. It's been me waffling about statistics, etc. I hope you found this useful. If you're on the YouTube video, don't forget to check out the podcast as well. I'll catch you next week. Safe. Hey, everyone, just a quick message from our affiliate program. Using DRM's online course, you can learn to move away from feelings of anger and frustration and get yourself some lasting positive change. Click the link in the description of this episode to get yourself a discount. And thank you for listening to Rebrand the Safety.